All it takes is pancakes for breakfast, brunch. Please stand in body or in spirit. A voice from the cloud said,
"This is my son, the beloved.
With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Of course they did. There was a voice coming from... Oh, that's not the next line. Anyway, but Jesus touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." We begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another, taking time for silence, for reflection and self-examination of our sins. Captive
to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have not done. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us. We make the light of your world and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, in the transfiguration of your Son, you confirmed the mysteries of the faith by the witness of Moses and Elijah, and in the voice from the bright cloud declaring Jesus your beloved Son, you foreshadowed our adoption as your children. Make us heirs with Christ of your glory, and bring us to enjoy its fullness. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.
Public service announcement before I begin. If ever, ever you can't hear me, say, can't hear. It's not going to embarrass me in the least. Okay.
With enthusiasm.
Yes, sir. The first reading is from Exodus, the 24th chapter. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. To the elders he had said, "Wait here for us until we come to you again. For Aaron and Ur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 2 responsively with me and with enthusiasm. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain?
The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed, saying,
"Let us burst their bonds asunder and cast their cords from us." Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying,
"I have set my kingdom on Zion, my holy hill."
I will tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel.
Now, therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth.
Serve the Lord with fear, with trembling.
Kiss his feet, for he will be angry, and you will perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Happy are all who take refuge in him.
The second reading is from 2 Peter, the first chapter. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, "This is my son." Oh, rats, I'm going to cry. "This is my son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain." So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the end of the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
can't hear me. Never mind. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before him, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, there appeared with them Moses and Elijah. That's weird. Talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make us three dwellings, one for Moses, one for you, one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Do we do that? Never mind. That's for the sermon. When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Get up, and do not be afraid. Hold on. And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise you, Christ.
You may be seated. Yeah, that's right. All right. I have to have a conference over here. Shh. It's a secret. Are you afraid of God? What? There were two firm no's. What about you? Yes and no? No? Oh, are you afraid of your parents? Sometimes. Your mom or your dad? It's your mom, right? Both. Good answer. So anyone here afraid of God? Apparently you didn't. Serve the Lord with fear and trembling. This is my favorite part. Kiss his feet, or he will be angry with you, and you will perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. But happy are those who take refuge in him. So this sermon, I guess it already began, but begins again with a spoiler alert. If you don't want to know the ending to a 45-year-old movie, a movie that was made before I was born, yes, that makes me less than 45. If you don't want to know the end to Raiders of the Lost Ark, just go to sleep a little earlier than you normally do, okay? What? What? Anyway. Well, I needed to remember Raiders of the Lost Ark. Anyway. The Ark in this movie. Who's seen this movie, by the way? Okay, a good number of us, right? The Ark mentioned in the title is real. It's rooted in the Jewish and the Christian faith traditions. So from Scripture, we understand the Ark to be the appointed place where God chose to dwell among his covenant people, Israel, right? Now, let's move over to the movies. The Nazis, they want to find this ark. They want to find this ark so they can own and they can harness the power of God. Anyone here ever want to own and harness the power of God? I mean, we kind of all do a little bit, right? We want to control God for our purposes. They want to do it to defeat their enemies. You know, I don't know, the Americans and the French and the whoever's. Right. As the movie, though, as it reaches its pivotal scene, the Nazis have found the Ark. The triumphant music swells. They remove the lid. And victory. is clearly theirs. You can see it on their faces. Their evil faces glow in the light that is coming from the ark as it grows brighter and brighter by the seconds. But there's a problem, isn't there? The light quickly transforms to fire, a pillar of fire shooting up into the heavens. And this fire does something pretty awful, doesn't it? It starts to melt their faces. And then their heads literally explode, don't they? I'm sorry if you haven't seen the movie, but that's how it ends. Well, almost. I'll get to the real ending later. Indiana Jones, just like Moses and the Israelites. Oh, wait. I forgot the really important part. The light, however, after it does all this, our hero Indy, does he perish? No, because there's been like 15 of those movies since then. So, of course, he doesn't die. So, he yells over to his partner. He says, keep your eyes closed. So, they keep their eyes closed and their heads remain unexploded. And Indy lives to see another day and make many more sequels that make the studios lots of money. Indiana Jones, though, just like Moses and the Israelites, he knows how dangerous it is to stand in the presence of God. And yet these three over here are like, we're not afraid of God. But that's okay. None of them are either. When the Lord first speaks to Moses on Mount from the burning bush, not on Mount Sinai. When the Lord first speaks to Moses from the burning bush, God warns him, come no closer, remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. On Mount Sinai, as Moses, as we heard today, as Moses is preparing to enter the cloud shrouding the mountain, we are told that the appearance of the glory of the Lord is like what? A devouring fire. A devouring fire. These Israelites are like, no, thank you. Before that, right after they had received the Ten Commandments, they told Moses something pretty curious. They said, Moses, you speak to us. We will listen to you. But don't let God speak to us. We will die. Don't let God speak to us. We will die. So, when the disciples are standing on this mountain, as Jesus is there glowing, as they are in the presence of Moses and Elijah, as a bright cloud then suddenly overshadows them, and then as this voice booms, this is my son, the beloved, with him I am well pleased, listen to him, it should come as no surprise to us that they are terrified, that they fall to the ground, because they've seen Raiders of the Lost Ark and they do not want their heads to explode, right? They are in the presence of the Most High God. They have heard the voice of God and they are certain they will die. This seems like a really weird story for us. As I've already proven, we don't seem to have much of a fear of the Lord, but it's natural for us, right? It's natural. We grew up with hymns like, Jesus loves me, right? We still find comfort in singing, what a friend we have in Jesus. How can we understand this extreme throwing ourselves to the ground, fear of the Lord? It doesn't make sense to us. We don't comprehend it. But I will say we do know fear, don't we? We know fear. The question is, what or whom do we fear? God. Now, we begin each worship service with a confession and forgiveness, right? What if next Sunday, instead of leaving silence for reflection and self-examination, what if we change things up a little bit? What if we spice things up in the sanctuary? What if instead of you keeping silent about your sins, what if you named them aloud? All of them, well, not just a couple, but not like the, you know, crappy ones like, I was mean. I said something mean to my wife yesterday. I probably did. It probably happened. But what if we said all of the really bad ones out loud for all our neighbors to hear? Who wants to do that? No? No takers on this. See, we fear judgment, don't we? That of our judgy neighbor, it seems, more than God's judgment, because I think most of us in this room would probably confess that we believe that God knows those really bad sins. We're okay if God knows them, but not our neighbor. So we confess. We confess safely and carefully and very silently. Confession, though, it is meant to bring our sins out of the dark recesses of our hearts and of our minds and of our souls. Confession is meant to expose our sins to the light of day. It's meant to expose us. Now, before you get too worried that I'm going to actually make us do this, as if you would anyway, it's not meant to expose our sins before a crowd or our nosy neighbors. It's meant to expose our sins to this devouring fire of God. I think God's devouring fire can burn those sins away. And if we're lucky, without burning us away. The disciples, they rightly fall to the ground in terror. They hide their faces. They close their eyes. They go full Indiana Jones. They know how dangerous it is for sinners like them to stand in the presence of God. They know how dangerous it is for sinners like them to look upon God. They know how dangerous it is for sinners like them to hear the voice of God. So I really wonder then. Really wonder then, what was it like for sinners like these disciples to be lying on the ground in holy terror, fully expecting for their heads to explode and their eyes to melt out of their skulls, and to instead feel the reassuring touch of God? Jesus came to them saying, "Get up. And do not be afraid," with his hand on their shoulder. The touch of God made known in Jesus the very thing that should destroy, the very thing that should destroy them, the very thing that should destroy us. God's touch should destroy us, instead comforts and reassures. The same glory that once blazed forth on Mount Sinai now shines from a human face, Jesus Christ. Emmanuel, God is with us. Jesus does not save the disciples by shielding them from the overwhelming power of God. No, God saves by transforming relationships with God. Jesus saves by transforming these disciples' relationship with God. Jesus saves by transforming our relationship with God. That is the only way we are saved. When the disciples looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. They could see. Their eyes had not melted out of their skull in the presence of God. Something happened on that mountain. They could see Jesus, their master, their teacher, and their friend. And in that moment, they really needed a friend. And I gotta tell you all, there's a lot of people in this room really struggling right now with a lot of things. And I think there's a lot of us who could really need a friend in Jesus. Thankfully, that's what we have. This sermon ends as it began. It ends with another spoiler alert. In the very final scene of Raiders of the Lost Ark, the Ark is lost once again. This time it is lost on purpose. It is locked away. It's hammered down into a crate, And this crate is sent into a warehouse, and this warehouse is full of crates, just like that one. There are rows upon rows, aisles upon aisles of crates stacked from floor to ceiling. And some low-level government bureaucrat, he's pushing this down the aisle. He suddenly stops and he turns and he pushes it into one of the aisles. And the ark is lost forever. The ark, it seems, God power, it seems, must be kept away from us mere mortals. But fortunately for us, that's the way Hollywood sees it. It's not the way that God sees it. The last spoiler of this sermon is that our God cannot and will not be locked away anywhere, ever. God does not retreat from us for the sake of our safety. Ours is a God who comes near to remove the fear. Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel, God with us in the bread and in the wine and in the water and in the word and in the loving touch of another. The loving touch of all here in this space today. Jesus comes near, touches us, and says, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when we lift our eyes, when we pull ourselves up from the ground, when Jesus pulls us up from the ground, when we look, when we lift up our eyes, we see no one but Jesus alone. We think, what a friend we have in Jesus. And we are not destroyed. It's the very opposite, and that's who our God is. We are forgiven. We are raised to new life. We are fully known, and we are fully loved. What a friend we have in Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And with that, your bulletin doesn't match. Please turn to hymn number 742. It's not going to be on the wall. 742 in your hymnal.
faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church,
Doug May to our prayer list. I learned this morning that Doug is in the Cleveland Clinic leukemia. So please keep Doug in your prayers. Please keep Doug in your prayers. Are there other prayers this morning? Jimmy Beekman. Kim, I ask that we continue to pray for Rich, his wife, my aunt. Let us pray. As God's beloved children, united in Christ, let us pray for the church, for the whole human community, and for the well-being of the earth, our home.
Peacemaking God, the nations are in turmoil. We pray for an end to violence and war, especially in Russia and Ukraine, Israel and Gaza. Give wisdom and restraint to leaders that they may seek paths towards justice and peace. Protect all who are in danger, and provide refuge and hope for those who have been displaced. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Healing God, you desire wholeness for all people. Bring healing to any who are experiencing illness, chronic pain, or mental anguish. Comfort the dying and for all who grieve. Especially this day, we lift to you Clint, Barb, Mary Lou, Linda, Ed, Pastor Tim. We lift Jimmy, we lift Doug, Kim, Karen, and Rich. We lift those on our long-term, homebound, assisted living, and limited mobility prayer lists, and all of those that we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Holy God, you have drawn us together in this place, and it is good for us to be here, to glimpse your glory, hear your voice, and receive the assurance of your love. Renew all who prepare, lead, and participate in worship, so that strengthened by your grace, we may be sent to love and serve the people of Galleon and beyond. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Confident that the Holy Spirit receives our prayers and answers us, we commend all for whom we pray to God's loving kindness made known to us in Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. Recess. We continue worship. We continue worship with our gifts and our offerings.
Thank you. No ear has heard what you have prepared for those who love you. Yet in this meal, you reveal the wideness of your mercy. Use what we have gathered to feed us with the reign of God come near. Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who sharing in our life lived among us to reveal your glory and love, that our darkness should give way to your own brilliant light. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Ours is a God who comes near in the bread and in the wine. So come forth, all of you. Eat, drink, and be restored.
Thank you.
And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Radiant God, we have seen your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. In the sacrament of his body and blood, you have drawn us to your heart. Send us from this table with delight, that our lives may reflect the beauty of your love and bear witness to all we have seen and heard. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Amen. I'm not certain with it, so I still might forget. Okay, so very first thing. I think there were some people down in the basement while we were up here worshiping, down there cooking pancakes and other such things. So please stay for our Shrove Sunday pancake breakfast, brunch, and for some fellowship and for some food and, you know, all of those things. So before you guys all go into Lent and fast, that's what it's for, and we don't want to have to throw away the eggs and the milk and the flour. If you read my pondering, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, please stay for that immediately following worship. And if you're a catechism student, you can go to that. Or I guess if you weirdly don't like pancakes, order Domino's pizza.
Yeah.
I guess. I'm told that that's happening. So anyway, after the pancakes or the pizza, we will be having catechism. Let's see. Ash Wednesday. Ash Wednesday starts this Wednesday, February 18th. It will be... So Lent starts this Wednesday. Ash Wednesday is this Wednesday, and it will be at St. Paul in North Robinson. If you don't know where that is, I think it's in the bulletin. That will be at 7. It is a little early, but our Easter flower orders, we have to place those tomorrow. So if you need an order form, they're back there. If you don't have money for them today, we trust that you're good for it. Also, we're ordering some extras. So if you want Easter flowers, just let the office know and either take care of it today or some Sunday in the future. This thing.
You're dropping everything today.
It's bad. It's real bad. This thing. It's a bookmark, Ash Wednesday to Lent. I think they're in your pews. Is that real? True? There's some scattered about. Feel free to take them home with you. They are yours. They are yours. Yeah, sure. We also, if you need to know when the services are, did we put that in the bulletin this Sunday? Or was that last Sunday? Anyway, dropped a pen. Anyway, there's also cards of those back there. Other announcements this morning. Yes, ma'am. If you don't like to be out at night, which I understand that, the Presbyterian Church here in town, Lutherans, it's okay. You can go to a Presbyterian church. 2 o'clock here at First Presbyterian in town. Other announcements this morning. Seeing and hearing none, we have a bunch of kids who are excited to go take your money. So we continue to collect our noisy offering for Meals on Wheels.
Thank you.
We have seen God's glory and heard God's voice.
Go now, renewed by grace and filled with light, to love and serve the world God loves.
We will.